I'm here to present the Mancusi project and see if it's possible to do something with it for package source. I'm first going to talk a bit about the EDOS and Mancusi projects, which have been two research projects dealing with package management, the European research project. So I'll present those first, then talk a bit about the problems we've discovered with package management, most specifically dependency resolution. Then we're going to present some of the tools we've made to deal with the problem. And then I'd like to have a discussion about if there's something useful or not for package source. So, EDOS project. I'm not sure what the abbreviation stands for anymore. I think it's something about the E and the distribution of open source software. Anyway, it was a European project. It was run for 3 years. A few universities, the French National Institute of Computer Science Research, Madriva Linux Distribution, Kajamaga, which is a Portuguese Linux distribution, to good balance between industry and academia. It was mostly focused on the distribution side. We had a work package dealing with dependency management, downloading of packages. For example, if there's a new version of OpenOffice out, everybody is going to want to download it at once. So we try to find something out about this sort of peak download distributions. Some other thing we researched was talked about the day before yesterday, rollback and transactional installation, so that if you install something and it doesn't seem to work, you can go back to another status of your system. This is Project EDOS. We've just started now with its successor, Mancusi. It's more or less the same idea, only we're now trying to get to the client side as well. So the project is really focused on helping distribution managers, release engineers do their thing. Now we're also going to try to look at the user experience. So for the moment we've been mostly focused on Linux, because there are a few Linux distributions for our partners in the project. Anyway, whether we like it or not, Linux is the biggest Unix out there, so at least in numbers, I think. I think
that's not true. I think it's true for open source, but macOS 10 has probably
more. Yeah,
for open source,
the largest open source. Sorry, I correct myself. Right, so the subject of Mancusi are things like the upgrade problem, which is suppose that you have a sort of a functional installation, so you have a set of packages that are available in your system. And the question you ask yourself, can I upgrade them? So if I put on new versions of the same packages, which some dependencies might have changed, there might be new conflicts, is it still possible to have the same functionality on my system without having other conflicts? Transactional upgrades is something we talked about already. Modeling, thing that's an enormous thorn in the side when you're looking at package management are things like post-installation scripts, pre-installation scripts. So, for example, it might very well be possible that according to metadata packages, it's quite installable, but it's post-installation scripts does very strange things. So we are trying to find a way to model those post-installation scripts. We are now busy finding out the semantics of the shell, which is, I can tell you, not a very easy thing to do. Another thing we're looking at is dependency solvers. So I'm going to talk about that for a bit later on, but basically that is to try to use SAS technology or constraint programming technology for resolution of dependencies. And with that, there's also an international solver competition, so we're going to assemble a lot of problems that users have when trying to install packages, upgrade packages, and ask people to So, dependent, that's my particular subject, dependency resolution. The first thing we've actually seen is that it's a hard problem, at least in Debian and also in packet source, you have alternative distributions, alternative dependencies, where you can say, okay, I want package A or package B or package C. As soon as you do that and conflict, the problem becomes NP-complete. Even though it's not practically, the installation problems aren't really very hard. You don't have to do a lot of backtracking to mostly all the dependency and field conflicts. But theoretically, you could have a package that's very hard to install. And even when you don't look at the NP-complete problem, on the scale of the distribution, there's thousands of packages, the dependency closure, so the dependency of the package can be still a few hundred packages, so it's quite a large problem anyway. So the existing tools don't really do enough. When you look, for example, at APT, what it does when you try to install a package, it tries to install the dependencies in order to present it. So if you have an alternative dependency, for example, it just tries the first one. It tries to install the highest version available. But the point is, if you have a conflict with a package to be installed, it just aborts the operation. So it doesn't try to backtrack. It doesn't try to install earlier version, which might perhaps not have a conflict so work. So it doesn't always work. And also, if you have a conflict with a package that's already installed, it just removes the installed package. And as I said, there's no backtracking. So this is, given that the problem is NP-complete, it's an understandable choice, but nonetheless, it doesn't always give you the right result. SMART is another package management tool. It's written by Gustavo Niemeyer of Mozilla. This was an attempt to address some of the problems with apps. So it's, as we see here, it has a conflict. It tries to install a lower version to see if that works better. So it's better than apps, but it's still not complete. We've actually tried to install the Debian distribution, and at some point it was busy for 2 days trying to install a package, and after that we decided to stop it because it obviously wasn't going anywhere. So even if you try to be smarter than that, it's still not good. So we've tried to do this in a better way, and this is what we here is Debian RPM check. This is a SAS solver which finds packages that are broken. It turns out that in the Debian distribution, also in RPM distributions, there are packages that can't be installed in any circumstances. For example, it has dependencies on two packages, but those packages also conflict with each other. In this case, you can never ever install the package, a couple of packages. It also explains why the package is not installable. So, for example, as I said just now, packages depend conflict. Also, there are lots of packages that depend on packages that are in distribution, things like that. And it's quite fast. It can check an entire Debian distribution of some 20,000 packages in 20-30 seconds. So this is what it looks like. I'm not sure if this is readable from there, but you can see that, for example, the package Galago game feed can't be installed because it depends on game, but game conflicts with Galago game feed. So in no circumstances is it possible to actually install the package. And also the next one, for example, depends on BingNoodles version. GCLC does depend on BingNoodles, a version that's not available in the distribution, so you won't be able to install that either. So this is actually a tool that can help distribution managers say, okay, well this package, according to the metadata, we can't install, so we have to do something about the metadata. So this is we can check an entire distribution in this way, we can really use this to improve your distribution. Another thing we've done is Anda. It's Turkish for Seek. The main developer is Turkish. That's why the name. It's a web explorer. So I've got a few screenshots of that as well. So basically, you can explore a distribution. This is the main page. You can look at the weather. This is a sort of a meteorological report that gives you the status of a distribution. So, for example, if the weather is sunny, there are mostly all the packages are installable. It's good. But if the weather is cloudy, there are lots of broken packages, so you might want to wait a day or two before upgrading, because it's a greater chance that the packages aren't installed.
It can also be used to, well, this is more or less...
useful for the beauty
parameter. It's mostly something to get your attention anyway, so it's not really... What is useful, though, is that you can also... look at the contents of a distribution. So for example, this is the contents of Debian Unstable on a certain date. It shows you all the packages that are not installable, which reasons, versions. You can more or less click on everything and it gives you information about that object, so the packages, their versions. One thing we also have is a life table. This shows you a package and its history. So you can see all the different versions that are available, and you can see that, for example, in Unstable, it slowly migrates from version to version. That's the green bars. So the yellow means that the package is not in the distribution. Green means that the package is in the distribution and installable. And the red bits mean that at that date the package was not installable in that distribution. So you can scroll along and look at the evolution of the package. If you click on the red bars, it also gives you the reason why it was installed. Okay, so another thing we've done is package lab. Okay. So this is sort of a MATLAB for distribution, so you can load the distribution into the program. So in this case, I've got all the variety of Debian testing stable and unstable. If you, for example, look at Debian unstable, so I've got all the packages in Debian unstable from the 1st of February to the 26th of May. So this is all you can follow the distribution, as it were, from date to date. So for example, if I look at this is part of the contents of Debian Unstable on the 26th of March. So you can see that's a package version, some architecture effect. 22,000 packages in Debian Unstable on this date. We can try to find out if the packages are installable. What I'm doing now is to look at all the packages in Unstable and try to see if they are installable in Unstable. So basically, I'm checking all of Unstable for broken packages. And when I look at the diagnosis, I get the list of all the packages that weren't installable and the reasons for it. Well, you can, for example, at some point we can see that Xmovie can't be installed because there is a package missing. Maybe it's somewhere. So now I'm looking at all the packages, seeing if there is a package that matches the regular expression. Okay, it seems to be there. I might, for example, try to add. So let's see if we can install this package.
see if I can install the package XMovie when I have available both unstable and stable. Because when I was a missing package, maybe it's in stable. And then we get the diagnosis. Okay, and there were no failures, so when you have stable and unstable, you can install the package. So it's basically you can, it's a sort of a specialized query language for package distribution. You can look at packages, ask questions like this, is it disabled, installed and unstable, unstable. There's lots of operators on the package set distributions, things like that. And basically, well, yeah, basically what we try to have is a really sort of specialized query language.
How much are in your dev specification?
Sorry? What we do is we move from our planning engine and we put this into a sort of a specialized storage, because if you have a package distribution several megabytes, if you store the track of time every day, so we've got a DB index, which more or less stores this compactly. And then yes, then you treat that in our planning engine. When you can't actually use that in because the virtual comparison algorithm between these different embedded and RPI, yeah, so you can't use them together, but you can treat them in these things.
Okay, so let's say that if you were to add software for objective source, what would you need to do?
Well, basically, you have to write a parser for package source packages and then you can be able to do it.
So, before there's nothing you know we need to do, you said the conversion.
You probably need to implement it as well. But it's obviously going to be much more than that. Of course, that will be my next point. So, package source does have conflicts and alternative dependencies, as far as I know. So, the problem with package source dependency management is an MVP problem as well. So, so we might be able to use our tools, or at least to help package source in any way. One thing that is different from the Linux distributions we've been looking at for now, package source, the Linux distribution called binary, so that might be a difference. Well, I don't know. It might be interesting. To look at package source for my reason. I don't know if this is interesting.
I would understand that, I would assume that your work can be split up into two parts. One being, so to say, the mathematical model, mm-hmm. which should be identical for whatever you're using, mm-hmm. right? And to develop some algorithms how to efficiently get to the answer you're looking for, and the second one is simply the implementation for a given package system. So the first one shouldn't really be different whether it's source packages or binary packages. You just have some properties which need to match or some alternative properties which you can choose from and something like that. Mm. Right?
It seems so. There's one thing I've been thinking about, and that is things like options, because whether NetBSD package is installable depends on the options you put in. And that's something that we haven't really looked at for, because a binary package, well, it doesn't have options, so it doesn't depend on that.
It does. In package source, it does. Yeah. And we're going to build multiple binary packages for the same package with different options.
That's one difference between the binary and the package.
Can you do so at the moment? I mean, can right now? I don't think. Maybe it's changed recently. But
no, the problem currently is they have the same file name.
Exactly. So you can't really distinguish.
Yeah, we will solve this.
Okay, sure.
Okay, look, for example, VST approach. They have been doing this for years. So
yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah, sure, it can be done, but with current code, it's not.
Currently, it cannot be done, but it will be done sooner rather than later. And that will also be constraints on the dependencies. If you install the, let's say, KDE the KDE PIM package with the CAPS options, and the KDE LIM package also has to have the CAPS option. But I think you can simply treat this as multiple packages, and if you don't care about the option, then you have multiple versions you can choose from.
As you pointed out too, the actually problem of solving which dependencies to install and if they conflict or not is MP from TMU. If you get these conflicts or not installable packages, you end up with these messages which are really hard to understand. So for me the interesting question is, what can we do to just make the problem easier? Just to make it less complex or less complex to compute, as failures and have it easier to explain to the users, because you know, standard normal user or normal system doesn't really know what MP complete means.
Should go okay, no, but well, the thing is, they don't have, because they don't really have to. In fact, the problem is MP complete, but in all packages that we have been encountered so far, it's the set temperature, which is a matter of the set temperature, is very low. So okay, it's MP complete theoretically, but anyway, because it's mostly dependencies and there are a few conflicts in between. So it's the set problems as they aren't very hard.
Yeah. For us, package source and providing installable packages is, you know, the goal is to reduce the conflicts to zero as far as possible. So.
This is not true because there are always new packages that can't be installed together because they are slightly different versions. If you are actually treating packages with different options as different packages, those packages will.
Well, I guess it's not about conflicts, but it's about whether you have dependencies with different conflicts, etc. Not conflicts per se.
No, but I guess what Christoph is asking is like. You know, when you get this error message from a C++ compiler for a heavy complaint code, and it just, you know, screens off your terminal. And normal mortals usually cannot make sense of it. So I guess that's a concern.
Yeah. Well, we will have to translate the constraint failures into form so that all the user understands.
Well,
we can't solve these two packages because they are conflicting dependencies.
If you look at this, this is the result of a depth check, which is actually this does constraint solving, and succeeding.
So the point I want to make is what I want to get at is, you know, you can't explain that. This is like you explain the reason why something doesn't work. For example, once you need to install the software because it needs it working.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, you got a little flight in a turbine, oh sorry, we fucked up with the luggage system and the flights will be delayed 5 hours and you won't be arrived. And we asked you for your understanding. No, you can't get my understanding. You know, I want to arrive there where I want to go. It's the reason is not that then our what we need to do this is just to reduce these failures, because it isn't helpful if you explain it. You can't do that because of that.
Well, the point is that it works, of course, two ways, because if you use this at the distribution side, you should be able to define, okay, to actually reduce these problems, because you spot them in advance and
Well,
package set up on your machine. They just start installing things, and then oops, something happened. Like that example when it tries to backtrack to an earlier version of the standard 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can they still be used or adopted to ideally, I want to know in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will happen if I ask it to update?
Well, eventually you're going to have to do this, just to write it.
Understanding the chassis is one thing we're doing, it's not the holy grail, but we're trying also to